Welcome to CLCC Online. We pray that this message draws you towards Jesus and strengthens your walk with Him. We believe that we were meant to do life in community. So if you live in the Fraser Valley area, we would love to get you connected into the family. Find everything you need at clcc.ca. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We're in our series, Stories That Transform Us. And we're going to be looking at a story that I connected with at a young age. But before that, I just want to give you a little glimpse into my childhood. See, I grew up in a family of all boys, me being the youngest. But we had some fun times, we had some hard times, but when we would get together and do things, there would be some fists that would be thrown. But when we go on family trips, we lived in a small town and we had a minivan. And when you have three older brothers, that means that the second row is filled up. And guess who gets sent into the back with all the luggage? The youngest one. But one of the stories I remember is with my older brother. He's a little bit older than me, 7 to 8 years older. And we would love to do things together. And so he was taking Taekwondo at the time, and he'd always be showing me how to punch and do all the things. And he came home one day, and he's learning how to kick. So I was standing in front of him. He's like, Bryce, I just want to show you this. And he does a kick. But me, unexpectedly, I didn't know he was going to be kicking as hard as he could. He kicks me in the chest, and I'm flying across the room. Everything is going slow-mo. I feel like I flew across the room. But I hit my head on our barn, on our toy barn, and I get up, and I'm steaming mad. The adrenaline is rushing through my body, and I'm running towards him. And I want to hit him. I want to take him down. And I'm swinging my fist, and he's just holding me back with his one arm, and he's laughing at me. And I remember thinking to myself, I can't wait till I get older and I will show you. See, I think that's why I connect so much with the story that we're going to be looking at today and the story of David. So we have this underdog story coming from nothing and him succeeding, coming from small beginnings and conquering Goliath, the youngest in his family having his moment. I think we can focus in this story at the end. Him conquering Goliath, cutting his head off, and him becoming king. But I think we can miss some of the things that happened in this story, miss the things that prepared him for this experience. See, we live in a culture where everything is at our fingertips, where we're bombarded by information. We want instant gratification. See, we don't want to wait. We want it now. Have you ever been in a fast food lineup and it's busy, or they're taking a little too long to get your hamburger? I know some of the times I'm like, it's only been 3 to 4 minutes, but I'm like, where is my food? See, we want it now. We get upset when things aren't in time. And those thoughts can bleed into our relationship with God. See, we say that we want to be used of God. We want to make a difference. But sometimes the underlying thought is, why is it taking so long? We don't always see the process that God is taking us on to get there. Today, we're going to be looking at how God prepared David to be used by God. Every sermon I do, I kind of just say, God, what do you want to say? What do you want me to tell our congregation? And my kids like to wake up early in the morning, sometimes in the middle of the night. And one of the nights, it was 3 a.m. And I was awake, and so I just said, God, what do you want to say? And he gave me three words, head and hands. And that's what we're going to be looking at in this David story, the heart, the head, and the hands. But before we do that, let's just pray. God, I just thank you. I thank you for who you are and what you're doing through your people. And we just pray today as we look at the story of David, his anointing, and how he conquered Goliath, that we would be able to be molded and shaped by you, that we'd be transformed, that we would see and evaluate in our own lives what you want to change. We thank you, God. Amen. So the first one is heart. Cultivate a heart for God. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel 16. And at the beginning of chapter 16, God is confronting Samuel over mourning over Saul, who he's rejected. It's time for him to get up, go out, and find the new king that God has already chosen. Samuel is deeply concerned about this command, knowing that if Saul would find out, the king right now, find out that he's going to anoint a new king, he would be killed or executed. God in his mercy provides this prophet with a cover story. So as not to raise suspicion, Samuel goes to Bethlehem to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Let's pick it up in verse 4. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they first met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace I come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourself and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." Let's pause there. You think that Samuel would have learned. Isn't that how Saul was picked? The tallest, the handsomest, the most experienced? But isn't that sometimes our default tendency? We look at the outward appearances or the value, the most talented or the most experienced. See, that's not where God looks. We pick it up in verse 7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him.' The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Samuel goes through all the brothers, 7 in total, and rejects them all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I can just picture how awkward this situation was for Samuel, but also the brothers. Going through all 7 of them, all no's. I bet you Samuel's like, "Okay, God, what are you trying to do here?" In verse 11, he asked Jesse, "Are these all your sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending to the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." The story of David's humble origins epitomizes the ideal king, a ruler who wasn't exalted over Israel by human expectations or standards. Rather, he was elevated and chosen by God. See, David was a shepherd, but there was probably a lot of shepherds. David was good looking, but so were a lot of young men. David was young, but there was probably plenty of young men God could have chosen. See, God describes what made David special in 1 Samuel 13:14. "The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a commander over his people." What made David the one was that he was a man after God's own heart. God choosing David really shows us what God values. We don't need a certain status. We don't need a certain influence. We don't need certain power. We don't even need the respect or approval of others or great responsibilities to be a people after God's own heart. The first lesson we learn from David's life is that the importance of cultivating a heart for God above all else. So you might ask, what does it look like to cultivate a heart for God? See, the answer is pretty simple. Spend time with God. But living that out is not so simple. There's always been this talk, let's use family as an example. Quality time versus the quantity of time. I think it's pretty safe to say that we all want quality time with our families. But when we force that quality time, it doesn't always work out. Or we're trying to fit it into, okay, I got 5 minutes, let's have this quality, or I have this afternoon, or I have this whatever, and sometimes it doesn't work. There's a balance between quality and quantity. Many of the opportunities to teach or model values can pop up without warning and will be gone in a blink of an eye. You can't seize those powerful and precious moments if you're not there to do the seizing. And that's why the amount of time you spend with your family is important. And that can relate to our time with God. We want quality time. We want those moments to matter. But we also need the quantity of time that we're just in his presence, allowing him to speak. That's why we need to fight for this time. We need to make it a priority. This is going to be more important than blank. This is more important than my job. This is more important than my friends. This is more important than this. We even see Jesus in the New Testament carving out time to go and be with God. And we know if Jesus did it, we should do it. It is in these times that God interacts with us. We wrestle with the challenges of life. We sit in his presence. He calls us two things. See, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is praying, not my will, but yours. It is in these times that God molds and shapes our heart. See, a heart for God prepares us to be used by God. So how else does God prepare us, or how can we prepare ourselves? Our head. Your perspective matters. Let's fast forward a bit to 1 Samuel 17, where we have Israel and the Philistine armies. They're at war. They're on the top of two mountains, and there's a valley in between. Goliath from Gath was a Philistine champion. He was huge. He had a full head-to-toe bronze armor. He had a bronze spear. He even had a shield bearer that would walk in front of him. Goliath is challenging Israel to come and fight him. Saul and the Israelites are dismayed and terrified. For 40 days, he came out every morning and evening and stood his stance. The enemy is passionate, intense, unrelenting in his attack. He is determined to intimidate and destroy God's people. Here we have a challenge that in the natural world seems impossible. Saul, the leader of the nation, is afraid and doesn't know what to do. And as a result, the people are afraid and discouraged. I saw this illustration online, and they used a car air freshener. But if you know me, I love coffee. And I could talk about coffee all the time. And so I thought I would incorporate it into this picture. So in this picture, you see my coffee cup. You see a car in the distance. I'm sitting in my van. I want to ask you a question. Which one's bigger, my coffee cup or the car in the background? Well, the coffee cup, in my perspective. So if the coffee cup is bigger, how did it fit in my car? Well, it didn't get bigger because it's in my car. It is bigger because I'm closer to it. So in this story, how is fear so much bigger than our God? See, if your problem is big and your God is small, it's not that your God is small and your problem is big. It's that you're sitting closer to your problem than you are to God. Somebody needs to hear that again. If your problem is big and your God is small, it's not that your God is small and your problem is big. It's that you're sitting closer to the problem than you are to God. See, the moment we start getting into God's presence, it's not that he changes size. It's that we see how big he really is. So David enters the scene. Remember, he's the youngest son. He is responsible for tending his father's sheep in Bethlehem. His three older brothers were in Saul's army, and Jesse has sent David to check out how things are going at the battlefield. Let's pick it up in verse 22. David left things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As they were talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from the lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. I love David's response in verse 26. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And when he speaks to Saul in verse 32, he says, let no one lose heart on the account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. See, David refuses to be intimidated by what he saw with his eyes or the natural circumstances. He looked at things with the eyes of faith and with a confidence in how big his God was. The second lesson we learn from David's life is that your perspective matters. See, David came in with a fresh perspective of the situation. His mindset was right. He wasn't clouded by the fear and the turmoil or the 40 days of Goliath coming out. His God was bigger than the problem. So what does that look like for us? How do we have fresh perspectives? How do we get our minds right? I think one thing is getting rid of the noise. See, we live in such a world that's chaos. It's busy. We fill our schedules with friends, families, commitments. We could do anything, any time of the day. And when we don't have time to evaluate, we don't have time to get that fresh perspective, that's what happens. We allow it to cloud our judgment. Maybe it's putting down the technology, putting down the phones, not watching all the TV shows, the nonstop information. We can allow it to just bombard us, to take over, to be the only source that we go to. Maybe it's praying to God that He would renew your mind. So you might have a hard situation at work, at school, whatever it is. What about saying, God, renew my mind? I know today is going to be chaotic. I know today there's going to be things that are coming from all directions. Renew my mind so when I go in today, I have your perspective. I know who goes with me. The third thing you could do is ask people that you trust around you, am I seeing this situation correctly? Am I handling myself in the way that I should? There are people in our lives that can see things from different angles or different ways, or sometimes our minds are clouded that we're not seeing things in the right way. So we've cultivated our heart for God. We have our mindset correct. The last one is hands. God desires to use you where you are at. In verse 34 to 37, it says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hands of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, the Lord be with you.'" In the verses just after, Saul is giving David his armor to wear, but it's big, it's clunky, it's heavy. David could have said, "Well, this is what everyone wears to go to war," or, "I'm just a shepherd, what do I know about battle? See, they have way more experience than me, so I should do it the way that they do it." But he knew who was with them, and he had the courage to step forward. See, David says to Saul, "I cannot go in these because I am not used to them." In verse 45, when he's going towards Goliath, David says to Goliath, "You come at me with the sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." See, David didn't say, "You come at me with your sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you with my sling and my rocks." No, he knew he wasn't doing it on his own strength or his own abilities. He says, "I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." See, the Lord had already proven himself to David, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. When we are used by God, we are coming alongside what God is already doing. As Pastor Phil mentioned when he was talking about Samson, he had all the talent anyone could have hoped or dreamed for, but he used it in the wrong way. And from the outside, David looked like he didn't have much abilities at all. But through God, he was able to do it. The third lesson we learn from David's life is God desires to use you where you are at. See, rest assured, God is not interested in only a specific set of gifts, a particular personality type. God desires to use you where he put you. So what does that look like to be used of God? I think it starts with, what are the needs around you? Opening your eyes and saying, God, you've placed me here. What are the needs around me? See, that could be in your neighborhoods. It could be at your schools. It could be the church. It could be your friend groups. Wherever it is, God wants you to meet some of those needs. So when we open ourselves up and say, what are those needs? There's a second step to that. We have to have the courage to step out. I think we need to get rid of the I am only statements. David didn't say, I'm only a shepherd, I'm only this, or I'm only this age, I only have this job, I only have this personality, I only have this giftings. See, God wants to use you the way he made you. What we need to do is step out and have the courage and faith to do that. We need to trust who is with us. You have God with you. You have the ability to lean on him. So as we end, I have a question for you. How is God preparing you right now? How is God preparing you right now? See, we just talked about heart, head, and hands. Maybe there's one of those sections that God is really putting something on your heart, saying maybe that you need to spend more time with him. You need to carve out your schedules. You need to do whatever to make that a priority. Maybe God's saying, I want to get your head right. There's too much noise. There's too much things happening. There's too many things going on that you're not hearing me. Or maybe it's your hands. I think sometimes we know our giftings, but we're waiting for that perfect opportunity to use them. Ask that question, what are the needs around me and how can I step out into them? Take some time, just allow God to evaluate with you what he wants to do. Let's pray. God, I just, again, thank you. Thank you for how much you care for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us your children, God. I just pray this morning that we'd understand that we are part of a bigger picture. God, I just pray for us that we'd be able to carve out times, that we'd be able to understand how important it is to be with you. God, I just pray that we'd be able to get rid of the cloudiness, the noise, and hear your voice, God. To be able to see things in a fresh perspective. To be able to follow in what you have us to do, God. And we just pray that we'd be able to step out. That we'd be able to see the needs around us and step out and have the courage and faith to follow through. We love you, God. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you are looking to get connected, we are one church in multiple locations. Our Aldergrove campus meets at Parkside Elementary School Sundays at 10:30. Our Abbotsford campus has three services each Sunday, 8:30, 10, and 11:30. We would love to see you at one of our in-person gatherings. If you would like to financially support us, you can always give at ccc.ca/give. See you later.